Next on our agenda, we'll hear from Commissioner Sue Alexander on her visits on behalf of Judicial Council as liaison to the Superior Courts of Alpine and El Dorado.
Thank you, Chief. Due to unplanned circumstances, I wasn't able to meet with Judges Kingsbury and DeVore at their actual courthouses. After the snow melted, Judge Kingsbury began a six-month death penalty case, which, along with her PJ duties, was and still is very time-consuming. I was trying to coordinate the visits, and by the time it was determined that the South Lake Tahoe visit wasn't going to occur, the Alpine Court had moved to temporary quarters as the county is making reservations that may include their courthouse. I was able to meet with Judge DeVore at other meetings and have spoken extensively with Tanya Ergen Capobianco, the El Dorado CEO, and hope to be able to visit their courts next year. I was able to visit El Dorado last year. Alpine is a very rural county with a population of 1,200. They have two primary employers that are both ski resorts. They have about 1,600 to 1,800 filings per year, mainly criminal, with a few civil cases, as now the majority of their family and criminal matters are handled by the local tribal court. They have no holding cells, so El Dorado arraigns the in-custody cases, and they reciprocate by presiding 2 days a month in the El Dorado court. The neighboring courts also back up Alpine judges for telephone duties, such as EPO and warrants, since sometimes cell phone service isn't as good as it could be. In addition to El Dorado, they also assist Amador, Inyo, Mono, and Calaveras County on an as-needed basis. They have gone as far as Modoc and Mariposa to assist with coverage. Their availability depends on their own commitments, the weather, and the road conditions. Since 2008, Alpine's budget has been reduced by over 50%, as has their staff. They no longer have a CEO, and the judges, with the assistance of the AOC, handle the administrative duties. They've used AOC resources for HR, legal counsel, finance, administrative, IT, and security services. Their limited staffing, which is three, and resource availability generally is not recognized or understood by other courts around the state, but other courts and judges have been wonderfully helpful, and the AOC is more than sensitive to their limitations and is terrific in providing services in many areas. Judge DeVore wants his gratitude expressed to Jody Patel and Kurt Soderlund and the AOC assistants, and is thankful for the benefits of such programs as Sacramento's research staff and LA's planning and research unit and their digital library, as well as individual judges who have shared their work product in specialized areas such as San Diego's, I may pronounce these wrong, Gail Casashiro, and San Bernardino's Alaya Perosa, who have provided information regarding felonies and an evidence matrix. One of the things he points out is in a small court, you have to be able to do everything, and you're not a specialist in anything, and so the things that come up rarely require a lot of extra work. Their share of the $63 million will avoid furloughs and keep their clerk's office open, though like many courts, their employees are very dedicated but haven't received a raise in 4 years. They have consolidated their calendars to reduce court reporter needs and to reduce appearances for their justice partners who have also lost funding, such as the public defender and the sheriff. They also consolidated their self-help services into 1 day a month and have a contract attorney that provides that service. They use Language Line for interpreters, and the judges do their own research and all the clerical functions. The Alpine Courthouse project was canceled, so the county is doing an addition to the county administration building, mainly to make room for the sheriff. The plan had been to make a connector between the administration building and the courthouse, but community members are now concerned that the historical integrity of the courthouse will be affected by any modifications. So the plans may be revised. The courthouse has no security other than cameras and a panic button, as the sheriff is 4 miles away and only comes to the courthouse when court is in session. It is also not ADA compliant. With the planned connector, they would be ADA compliant, and the sheriff would be down the hall. Without it, the sheriff will be around the corner, and they don't think they can become ADA compliant since there isn't space for both a stairwell and an elevator, and they can only install one unisex ADA compliant bathroom. While the plan is being determined by the county, the court has leased a former preschool in Woodford, which is 2 miles away from Markleyville, as a temporary courthouse with limited space, shared chambers, and no security. But things have improved. 2 years ago, the judges and staff had to shovel the snow from the walkways in order for the public to enter the building. The county now provides that service. In comparison, El Dorado is large. They have 9 judicial officers and 5 locations, 3 in Placerville, 1 in South Lake Tahoe, and 1 in Cameron Park. Their workload justifies 10.6 bench officers, and they do have an additional judge approved, but unfunded. The population is around 180,000, and their filings exceed 30,000 per year. As I reported last year, their main courthouse in Placerville is falling apart, and their new courthouse has been delayed. They have consolidated services by case type, and due to the distance between courthouses, use video conferencing to try to accommodate litigants. Like Alpine, they have security and ADA compliance issues. They hope that their courthouse project will proceed in the near future. In addition to what was reported last year, El Dorado has implemented additional efficiencies to deal with their ever-reducing budget. Their justice partners now have computer access to files, so the clerks no longer have to pull and copy files. Their ADR officer was released, and now pro tems assist with the settlement conferences. They have converted to soft file for their traffic tickets, and with the assistance of their local DCSS, they streamlined their DCSS procedures. The numbers of managers have been reduced, and they are relying more on supervisors, with the CEO and assistant CEO doing more direct management. They have a new family law facilitator and are relying more on volunteer attorneys to help with their self-help service. They are hoping to use some of their reserves to implement electronic filing, which is the first step towards e-filing. They are also using their share of the $63 million to eliminate the furloughs that have occurred over the last few years and to fund employee benefits. This was particularly timely because they had labor negotiations this year, and the staff was happy to get the funds restored as they faced changes due to pension reform and ever-increasing health care costs. The additional hours will also help eliminate some of their backlogs. They are spending their fund balances on improving IT and phone systems and want to reiterate, as Judge Jarre said, that the need for fund balances in order to keep the courts functioning. They project a deficit in the 14-15 fiscal year about $400,000. El Dorado generally likes the changes that have occurred at the Judicial Council and the AOC. They appreciate the services to the smaller courts that were preserved, especially things like assistance with labor negotiations and litigation support. As a member of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, Ms. Ergun Capobianco is involved in resolving some of the parking lot issues regarding funding, such as how to properly fund Cluster 1 courts and making sure salaries are based on comparable jobs. She would like to see more coordination of interpreter services. El Dorado has a hardworking core of employees and judicial officers. They try to cover when they can and haven't used their allocation of assigned judges, even with this 6-month death penalty trial. Everyone has risen to the need. They have fewer employees than their allocation, but there just isn't enough general fund money to pay salaries and benefits. In closing, I'd like to do a short follow-up on my report with regards to Glenn County. I spoke with the presiding judge, Peter Tweed, who, with the CEO, has done an analysis of their 13-14 budget, and if expenditures are as expected, they will have $127 left on June 30th, 2014. That will not cover 1 month's expenses. He continues to support legislation to increase the fund balances allowed, but by the time that is done, it's expected that most of the reserves will have been spent. He is looking to the Judicial Council for a process for requesting loans that will be needed by the court to meet their monthly obligations in a timely manner, and is hoping that that will be in place before the June 30th deadline next year. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Commissioner Alexander. Justice Miller?
Thank you for that report and all that you've done in that regards. I did want to alert all of the Judicial Council members who are liaisons to trial courts that myself and Jody Patel and Kurt Child and Kurt Soderlin, at the request of Diane Cowdery and her staff, and we appreciate it, spoke at the presiding judges conference. And I just want to let you know that we handed out a sheet that has all of your liaison assignments, and we specifically told them to call you. So you may be expecting to receive those calls here in the next few weeks. But I can tell you that they really appreciate the liaison program. They appreciate the contact with each of you. They appreciate the trips that you make and the information you provide and the source you are to answer questions and to get information back to them. So thank you for doing that, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Judge Stout, and then Judge Herman.
Thank you, Chief. Just as a brief follow-up to Commissioner Alexander's report, I really want to commend Judge DeVore and the Alpine Superior Court. They are exceedingly generous in making themselves available to assist adjoining courts, as Commissioner Alexander mentioned, and not just in our three-county appellate division, but under reciprocal assignments. I can't tell you how many hours Judge DeVore spends on the road to respond sometimes just a night before to a court in need. And I think Judge DeVore and his court should be highly commended for their ability to help us provide access in the rural communities.
Thank you, Judge Stout. Judge Herman?
I just wanted to add to this that Steve Jarre, Judge Jarre, visited Santa Barbara County, I think, as was mentioned. And it was my court was really attentive. You know, comments were made like, well, the services that are provided, because rank-and-file trial court judges generally don't know the level of services that are provided by AOC, because, if you're on the executive committee or APJ or PJ, you're constantly dealing with the legal services office, facilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a terrific meeting, Steve, and my court really appreciated it. And there were very positive comments, not only during the meeting, but also afterwards. So as part of the liaison, that's a great thing that you're doing, getting out to the trial courts.
Thank you. Judge D'Alba.
Chief, thank you. I just wanted to make a follow-up comment about my report about San Joaquin County and something that concerned the council and you, the chief, greatly about San Joaquin County and others that have suffered as a result of the budget cutbacks and courtroom closures, and that was the inability to address small claims in San Joaquin County that the court had stopped hearing and accepting filings of small claims. The presiding judge, Dave Warner, and I and the CEO had conversations over the last several months about that and discussions about possibilities of how to address that. And I'm pleased to report that San Joaquin County, as of today, has resumed. I don't remember if it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Accepting filings on small claims and making inroads into cutting back the backlog of small claims cases that had not been heard during their close down or shutdown, so to speak. And I want to thank Justice Miller, because I know he was very supportive of trying to address the situation in San Joaquin County.
Thank you, Judge D'Alba. Thank you. Those liaison reports, as you know, are very important to us. There was a time when we could go as a group to visit these, but these are very helpful, informs us on making our decisions, and I know it's additional work on top of what we ask you to do in your spare time. Thank you.